Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and I'm very excited to have a new friend in the house today and another guest who's a dear friend back in the studio with us as a special guest co-host. So first, let me introduce you to Barbara Barnstead. Welcome back, Barbara.
Thank you, Jody. Always a pleasure to be here.
Yes, excited to have you. And the reason why I asked you to come back is you've been on with us before, talking all things business and B2B. But you and I had a conversation around a special organization. And when we talked about this organization, I said, you know, I really would love to have you come back and co-host this segment with me because it's such an important part of your life as an advocate for animals. So would you be willing to introduce our listeners to our mystery guest?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I met our mystery guest quite a few years ago when I worked for a business in the Valley. She was at that point honored. It was in 2015. She was honored as Businesswoman of the Year through the Tempe Chamber of Commerce, and since then has also been honored by the Phoenix Business Journal in 2016 as Outstanding Businesswoman of the Year. Her cause endeared me, and I connected with her quickly. So with that, I'd like to introduce you to my friend, Jody Polansky of Lost Our Home. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, Karen.
Oh, happy to have you. So anxious to hear all about your organization. I've only had an opportunity to hear a little bit about it through Barbara and our conversations. You founded the organization and it's your baby.
It is. It is definitely my baby. Put everything into it. It's been quite the ride. It was founded back in 2008 during the economic crisis. So this year we actually are celebrating our 10th anniversary.
I saw that. Congratulations.
Thank
10
you.
Years.
10 years. It's hard to believe. It just has gone by so fast. We've done so much in that time period. It just blows my mind, honestly.
So take us back to the beginning, 2008. How did you get started and how did you, what was the need back then?
So if you remember back in 08, that's like the foreclosure crisis, the economic crisis. This is when, you know, huge companies had been in business for a very long time and closing down. Everybody was getting laid off, right and left. It was a really bad time in our economy, and especially with the foreclosures. You know, Arizona was number two and number one in foreclosures for the whole country, kind of going back and forth between Las Vegas. You know, Las Vegas and Phoenix were back and forth on number one and two in the whole country for foreclosures. At the time, I was doing mortgages. So I was really getting to see a lot of this firsthand. I was also volunteering for a pet rescue at the time. And I've always been a huge pet lover. And because of that, people that know me would, you know, realtors would be like, oh, did you hear so-and-so found an abandoned pet in a foreclosed home? And I kept hearing these stories and I just kept thinking, who is helping these pets? And the only answer I'd get was like, well, they told the listing agent. That doesn't mean the pet was taken care of. So the original thought process of opening this rescue was just to find a way to help abandoned pets that realtors were finding. I had no idea at the time the need was so, so great. I knew it was out there, but I didn't know it was as intense as it was. At the time, too, Arizona was number two in the whole country for euthanasias. So it was like a perfect storm, you know, of foreclosures and pets and no help for them because the crisis was just so, so big here. So I started the rescue. Not even thinking about it as a nonprofit starting up during the worst economic time to start a nonprofit or any business. But really, it was just like there was a need. And I just thought, you know, let's just do something. Like, what can I do to help? That was always about, like, how can I make a difference and help these pets that are being left behind? And when I opened it, I started realizing it wasn't just realtors calling me with abandoned pets. It was also neighbors calling me because they found abandoned pets. It was locksmiths calling me. It was appraisers calling me. And then I had pet parents call me too, saying, I lost my home to foreclosure. I can't take care of my pet. I don't want to bring them to county animal care and control because they do euthanize. You know, can you help me out? Mm-hmm. Then I was getting phone calls from pet parents. They lost their home and they just need a few months to get back on their feet again. Can I watch a pet for them for a few months? And pet parents calling and saying, my pets are hungry. I can't afford food right now. I don't want to turn them into a shelter. I love them so much. Can you just give me some food? So all these questions, people call me for help. And I kind of took all those different issues that were happening and our programs that we changed and morphed into were designed to help all these people and pets that were in crisis. And it's just, it just grown into a really amazing organization today that I had never had planned on. I just was trying to fill a need. And I realized there was a lot more out there than I had anticipated. And we just did our best, you know, to help as many as we could.
Right. And it's funny because when I met you, it was during the Tempe Chamber of Commerce when you were being awarded. And I was telling Karen that when all the dust settled and everybody was leaving the event, I felt that I had to come up and I had to speak to you because you were the real deal to me. Mm-hmm. You were the real deal. And probably you had no idea what this undertaking was going to be, but you knew that it was your calling. It was absolutely your calling. And I had rescued a dog when I lived in New Jersey. So that's probably also why, you know, there was this synergy between you and I. But after speaking to you and, of course, knowing you this long now, the cause is unbelievable. And I know that you also run 6 different programs through Lost Your Home, which I think are phenomenal. And the public has to know about these things that you've created. So why don't you tell us a little bit about them?
Great. We do. We have 6 programs. So a lot of the rescues specialize in taking pets and adopting them out. And we do that too. But we also have 5 additional programs that we do. And that's what Barbara's referring to. So one of our programs that is one of the most unique ones in the entire country is our temporary care program. And that is one where we care for people's pets for up to 90 days when they're in some kind of crisis. So it could be, we do a lot of work with domestic violence shelters. We do a lot of work with homeless shelters, with hospitals, inpatient treatments, people who've lost a home to foreclosure or eviction or just in between houses. There are so many people that don't go out and get the help they need, like to an inpatient treatment for PTSD, for example, because their best friend is their pet, and there's no place to put their pet while they're getting treatment, and they don't want to lose their pet.
And you're an answer for that.
And we are an answer for that, yeah.
And it's temporary, right? I mean, which is the arrangement.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And that's unique.
It's very unique. Where there are different offspins of the program where they may help for 30 days, or they may help only if they're a domestic violence shelter, or they may help only if they're military, for example, around the country, different things. But ours that I know of, and I can't say positively because I certainly don't know every program out there in the whole country, but from what I know, especially at least in Maricopa County, it's the only one that is so liberal in that it doesn't matter what the situation is. If you need someone to care for your pet for you for a couple months, 90 days to get back on your feet again or get through a crisis, or just that you can keep your pet because of some situation, we will care for your pet. There's no rules regarding it. Right. As long as we have the ability to care for the pet, we're going to help out. And that way those pets are not going into the shelters to be adopted by somebody else when they have a family that loves them already.
And that's how sensitive Jody is with Lost Her Home, because I'm from the old school, meaning when you think of a pet rescue, somebody finds a dog, they don't know whose dog it is, it goes into the shelter, and the owner either looks for it or, God forbid, something else happens. This opened up my eyes to a whole new different vision of what your pet rescue is, that it's not one-dimensional.
The word that you used to describe this program was respite care. And I just love that, because that really speaks volumes to the service you're providing these individuals and families. So that's 2 of the programs. What are the other programs?
So we also have a pet food bank, and that is where we provide up to 6 months worth of pet food and supplies for anybody that needs help. And that's hard off for people who are unemployed and needed some help. And it could be somebody who's got a lot of hospital bills. They were unemployed for a while. They're working again, but they just are so far behind. Whatever situation is, they financially can't afford pet food. We don't want those pets going, same thing, being turned into overcrowded shelters when there's a family that loves them. So it's all about helping the pet parent to help the pet. It's like, how do you best help a child? You help the pet, you help the child's parent, you can help the child. That's how we do too. So providing the supplies they need to get them through their hard time, their financial hard time, and that way they can keep their pet in the family that loves them. So that's another program we have, is a pet food bank. We've helped over 17,000 pets in the 9.5 years we've been open.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And the pet food bank program was 17,000 pets. Yeah.
Incredible.
That's terrific.
And during those times, I know people will sacrifice food for themselves to take care of their pet.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa. If they're desperate, they may feed themselves, but then the pet is going starving. All the while, that emotional turmoil and chaos that's going on for that pet parent you know, do I have to give my best friend away? Which one of us has to sacrifice, you know, nutrition, that sort of thing. And right. so again, huge problem solved right. through your organization.
And once again, a normal person, if they needed help with their children, they know that there's services that are offered through the county and the state. Most people would never even know that you offer something like this for their beloved pet.
Exactly. Exactly. It's by the sheer number of pets you've helped, you can see what a big need is out there. And so, mm-hmm. yeah.
Incredible. And tell us what else you do. As I said, it's a whole array of different wonderful things.
We do. We also have a pet-friendly program. And what we have learned is there are so many people that want to be able to bring their pet with them, but they can't find a pet-friendly rental because they either have a breed that may be restricted, or they have too many pets, or the pet's just too big because the maximum size they find in most places is 25 pounds. So we have realtors that will help people find pet-friendly rentals for whatever situation is, and then they donate 100% of the commission for pet deposits.
Mm-hmm. So, wow. It's And that program, what did you had a name for that? What did you?
Pet Friendly Rental Program.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. And on our website, we also have a lot of resources there too. So we have worked up with different companies that have rental websites and searches. And our website has specific searches that all show pet friendly only. So if they go on there, they can see these searches and put them in what they're looking for and find on their own pet friendly rentals. But there are people that may not fit into the standards. You know, so we can have realtors that can help them find what they need. For example, I've got somebody who recently, they've got three big dogs. They needed a rental for only 4 months. It's really hard to find a month to month with pets, especially three big dogs. Mm-hmm. And the realtor was able to find her a rental within a day, actually. She's moving in this month. But otherwise, when she called, she was like, I don't even know what to do. She's like, I'm not moving without my pets, but I cannot find a place that will take three big dogs, especially on a month to month basis or a short term lease, like 4 months. So, part of what we do is what the realtors do is not only find the places, but also prep them for it. So, you can do resumes for your pet on, the kind of, behavior pet has. You can do pictures showing how your house is maintained really well, offering really good extra like insurance that covers your pet if it's a restricted breed, for example. There are things they can do. They even have pet resumes you can make to help show a landlord, I'm a responsible pet parent and my pet is really well behaved and we're not going to...
You're not taking a risk in having us as your
tenant. Lease or,
yeah,
right.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So we help them get ready. And then I'll help them find a place to rent too. And that way there's an excuse they can't bring their pet with them. Like that barrier is now gone.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And look at how much this has branched out now because you are now also so well connected in the Valley because of Lost Our Home. It's not just a silo of a pet rescue. You do so many other things. You've got the low income boarding program. I just know there's other things that you do too. Once again, let us know what that is.
Yeah. So one of our other really, really great programs that people really, really fall in love with, which is similar to our temporary care program, is our partnership program with the Sojourner Center.
Okay, tell us.
So the Sojourner Center is one of the largest domestic violence shelters in the state and actually in the country, the oldest in the country. And they're really a phenomenal organization. And back in 2014, I was talking with the CEO there and I was telling her about our temporary care program. And she's like, this is really, really amazing. And we've been working with them since 2008 when I first opened. But they didn't realize how much need was out there for domestic violence victims to leave their home and have a place for their pets. So in talking with the CEO, she's like, there has to be a way that we can work together and do more to help out these women so they're able to leave their homes, not leave their pets behind. So with that, we decided to do a partnership program, which is where we help build a pet shelter right on the campus of the Sojourner Center.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
It's really one of the most innovative programs in the whole country for pets and domestic violence, because not only is it just a place to bring your pet to, but the Lost Our Home Pet Rescue staff are there 7 days a week throughout the day, early in the day to late at night. So they can do feedings for breakfasts and for dinner feedings. They help take care of the pets. They help the pet parents. They help give training to the pet parents, training to the pets, providing everything we can to help those families, full families, start a whole new life again. And there's so many benefits to that because having the pet right there on campus, yeah. It just makes it seem more like home. We call the shelter, the pet shelter, the portion of the Zen place on the shelter there.
Sure,
it's a place
sure.
to go where you're going to go and to receive and to give love. And that's what we really try to make the shelter like. Matter of fact, there's a living room there. They can spend time with their pets in the living room. There's several play yards. There's a place for cats, which is free roaming, a place for dogs, even a little medical room that we'll put in you know, fish and turtles and things like that. We even had to rescue a little goldfish one time because the family didn't want to leave out the goldfish. And so
they are pets.
They are pets, exactly. But, you know, you can't have a body of water in a room because it is a drowning. You can drown in a body of water. So, but in the pet shelter, we can have that where everything's supervised.
It's, they're there to supervise.
Yeah.
The word burdened was coming up for me, and it's not a great word, but I was putting myself through the lens of the woman who needs shelter from whatever situation she's faced with, and she has to rely on sojourners, when with or without kids, because sojourners really is for families, correct? Or is it?
It's for both. Yeah,
okay, for both.
It's very, very good for families, but you don't have to have kids to go there. Yeah.
So, when I have to make that move, and I'm relying and having to trust on this organization to help me land on my feet, I may be looking for a job. I may be on my own for the first time. I may be worried about my kids being displaced. The burden, I'm putting air quotes up, of having a beloved pet as well could seem overwhelming. And again, you've solved that problem, right? It's phenomenal. And, you're an industry disruptor nationwide is what I'm hearing. She's nodding her head and smiling. You've likely helped everyone think differently about pet care, everything from temporary to keeping them alive as opposed to euthanization and everything in between. Bravo. Wow.
Right. You just do not look at this like a one-dimensional pet rescue that we've all grown up with. So it's been wonderful. How many volunteers do you typically have on your staff?
We are so blessed. We have our database has about 1,000 volunteers, but I'd say about 400 of them are really active. But 400 active volunteers is amazing. We have a very beautiful shelter in Tempe. It's 8,400 square feet. It's down the street from here. I love, love, love the shelter because we could do so much great stuff there. And our volunteers are so important to us and our pets. So our staff is a very small staff. And we do the basic care for the pets, but the volunteers are there doing not only care for pets, but they're also doing all the enrichment for pets. So, and we've got a phenomenal enrichment program for the pets. And that's how the volunteers are doing that. They do our adoption events. They do a lot of our admin stuff. Our volunteers do everything that a staff member do and so much more. And we've got an amazing volunteer manager, and it's fun stuff. Like we'll do stuff for volunteers, like doing cats with yoga in our cat rooms, you know? And so it's just a fun thing to do. It's, you know, but the cats get enrichment doing that too, right? We'll do painting, you know, in the cat rooms, you know, with learning to do like a paint by number, not paint by number, you know, like people would wine and paint. We'll do that kind of painting thing like in the cat room. But most of our enrichment things, we'll do treadmills for the dogs. We try to get every dog on the treadmill every day. It doesn't happen every day because it is volunteer run. There's not always volunteers that can come every day, but probably 4 days a week, we get every dog on the treadmill.
Fantastic.
It's a great program, especially in the summertime when they can't walk in the street, because that way they get physical activity they need. And they also get mental stimulation by doing that too, because they have to concentrate when they're on that treadmill.
Right. It's a phenomenal facility. I've been there and I was just so impressed. And also how homey it is, which Jody will talk about the various rooms. Also, you've got outside of that, towards the back of the facility, you have an area that when dogs or cats come in, if they're sick, they can be able to be quarantined. So they're not spreading anything around to the other animals. You also obviously have veterinarians that donate their time to come in and check on those animals that were quarantined. Tell us a little bit about the whole facility and how it's designed.
Well, the facility right now, when we went there, it was originally designed based on how can we do the least amount of tenant improvements, because we were leasing the building. Tenant improvements just to get us up and running. But we've been there for 4 years now, and we are doing a capital campaign right now to purchase the building and to renovate it. And with that, we do want to renovate to be much more of a pet shelter, meaning that we have the right drainage that we need and ways to be able to care for the pets even better than we have right now. And let me tell you, we have really good care for the pets right now, but when we can have the right place for them to be in, that place, environment, even better environment, you can up how much care we can give to them. So for example, right now, when you walk in there, it looks like a little neighborhood, a home. It doesn't look like
little Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Yes.
It's adorable.
Yeah. And that is good for both people and pets, because when a person walks in the door and they want to adopt a pet and they're going to see a dog behind kennels, they're going to feel sorry for the dog. Whereas I see them in little rooms, they don't feel sorry. Exactly. And the idea is we want people to adopt because they fall in love, not because they feel sorry.
Yes.
So the whole atmosphere is done to make people comfortable and make pets comfortable. But we know we can do so much more with it because the materials we use were very temporary materials. So there's a lot of chewing on things and it's not exactly standing up to all the wear and tear of having, you know, 100 pets in a shelter at any given time. We do have a medical room for cats. We don't have a medical room for dogs. We have to use our offices for dogs right now. But the remodel, we're going to have a whole isolation center for dogs too. And that way we can keep, any dog gets sick, we can make sure they're isolated in a real isolation area, not an office. So that's one of the big improvements we want to do is actually build a medical room. We know it's really, really integral in our going forward is to have that. We do have nice big yards for the dogs to play in outside. And we're going to, you know, keep those obviously. There's misters out there and there is fans out there and there's shades out there. So dogs can get playtime outside throughout the summertime too. There's so many improvements we're going to be working on to make it even better going forward. Now, you did mention a vet. So we actually don't have vets that volunteer for us. We actually pay our veterinarians. So we drive pets to the veterinarian almost daily. We're taking dogs and cats in our van veterinarian and we're paying for services. We do get discounts. You know, a future goal is to get a medical center and have a vet on staff. But right now we don't have that. And vet care is very expensive. Imagine the cost for you to pay for one of your pets for it to go to the vet.
A whole shelter.
Exactly.
A whole community.
Taking almost 1,000 pets a year. And, you know, it's expensive. So that definitely is a future goal is to have a veterinarian staff and have a medical center there.
Step one, own the building.
Right.
and renovate or expand upon because it already sounds phenomenal. But I can almost see your vision as you're describing it. Make it even better. And then step two or three is let's get this vet care on staff and have it be an integral part as opposed to driving, huh?
Exactly.
Love that. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? So is it the Home at Last capital campaign?
Correct. Home at Last capital campaign. We love the name of it because, you know.
That's what I was thinking as I remember Barbara sharing.
Because everything about us is home, right? You walk in the shelter and it feels like home. And you literally, what I love about too, you walk in and people say, I feel the love when they're here. I mean, how many shelters do you walk into and you feel the love? You feel the love when you walk into our shelter. That's so, so important to me. And that's all the enrichment. That is the volunteers. That is the staff. It is everybody walking the door and the pets, of course, giving so much love to while they're there because they're not so stressed out.
Right.
So, I know you're being humble. I do agree with you. And I know that it begins with a great leader and clear core values and mission vision. So I'll let you be humble, but we're going to shine the light on you to say that I know it starts with you. So anyway,
thank you.
How many cats can you currently house and how many dogs can you currently house at Loster Home?
We can house approximately 40 cats and 40 dogs at any given time. Now, when we have puppies or kittens, then it can go up from there. So like right now, we have a lot of puppies. We're probably closer to, you know, 50 to 55 dogs right now. Kitten season, we'll have close to that time too. So we try to stay about 80 pets in the shelter, but we have really maxed out as high as 100.
Wow.
But that's really a lot. We shouldn't be that high in there. So.
Right. Just wonderful. Just wonderful. And I know we talked about the volunteers and I'm sure you're always looking for donations.
Yeah. Speak to us so this is Business to Business Radio. Most of our listeners are business owners or executive leaders, obviously people very involved in the community here in the Valley of the Sun. From a business perspective, how can people get involved?
We have so much great things out there for businesses. So corporations that want to do group volunteer days, you know, come to the shelter. It's really good to do when your peers, peer-to-peer sort of, that's what I'm thinking of, and enrichment's on my mind for some reason.
Yeah.
Experiences, yeah. So you get to know your peers a lot better by doing this work together. And who doesn't want to come in and be with pets all day long? So the group volunteer days are really great because people get to know each other better. There's stories about pets, or showing pictures, they're working together, they're having fun with a dog, or having fun with a cat. And we actually can customize those. So if a company wants to send in 10 people for half a day, we can do that. They want to send in 5 people for a full day or 20 people for 2 hours, whatever they want to do, we can customize for them a group volunteer day for them. We have a conference room that a lot of times they'll use for bringing lunches in for their volunteers for the day. And we could do everything from doing crafts. We do crafts of actually building or making dog toys and cat toys and crafts, to cleaning, you know, cat rooms and dog rooms, to taking dogs out for walks, taking dogs to parks, We do a lot of building type of volunteer days with the groups. Mm-hmm. So whatever you could think of, we have opportunities for corporations to bring their staff there and have a really fun volunteer day. And then on top of that, we have a whole volunteer, we have a whole corporate program too. So if they want to support us financially, then of course we really need that, but they get things in return too. So they get to be sponsors. Part of the corporate partnership includes sponsoring some of our events that we have. They get, you know, that's included with the partnership. It includes having a, you know, the group days for them. It includes marketing. Like we'll talk about how great they are on our social media posts, things like that, our email blasts. So we want the world to know how great this company is that's supporting us. And our donors love to see that. The people that support us, our volunteers and donors, when they see a company is supporting the organizations that they love, then and people that don't even know us, the fact that an organization is supporting a pet rescue that helps people and pets,
huge.
It just gives you all those really good fuzzies inside. And there's a choice between, you know, being a customer of a company that supports your cause versus one that doesn't support a cause that you like. You're going to obviously go to the one that supports your cause. That's the reason why I want to give back to these companies that are helping us and give them that social media and give them that marketing that comes with it too.
And most of the new progressive companies in the Valley really want to have a cause and they want their employees involved in some type of action and cause. So it's great that you do that. I also know that once a year you do a big gala because I've personally attended it. It's wonderful to have you talk about that. Even before you turn around, it'll be here again. And she also has a silent auction at that gala, raises quite a bit of money. It's very popular. And lead off with it, Jody. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so that event is usually the first Sunday of December, and it is a brunch. It's a champagne brunch. It's very, very nice.
What was it called?
We've always been calling it the holiday champagne brunch and auction. And then we actually branded it this last year. And at the moment, I have to say, like, my mind is going blank.
It's okay.
I see it every single week because we're actually working on it right now.
So that's me with my kids. What was your name again?
I'm having one of those moments of the time. I'm a little embarrassed. Because
that's fine. Talk about the atmosphere and what that brunch is like.
So the brunch is a really fun event. It's right around the holidays. And so the auction is, it's great because it's usually a big auction. We'll have about 100 items there.
Correct.
And people are shopping for their holiday gifts this time period. So it's a great way to get your holiday gifts while supporting a really good cause at the same time.
Right. I know last year I ended up donating to the silent auction and I got two hot air balloon tickets. That's what I donated silent auction, which I then used when my brother from New Jersey came out. So it was phenomenal. It was probably something that I don't even know if I would have ever done. So it was a great cause and it was a fantastic trip.
That's so good to hear that. And you do find really unique gifts there. We try to go out and get experiences that you maybe couldn't get otherwise, or even experiences that you may have not thought about doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, different gifts too. And we want to make things fun. We put packages together, like I Hate to Cook package, which is a bunch of different restaurants, you know, restaurant gift cards. So it's a different package we put together. And it's really fun because you go there and everything you get to use your phone. So as you get somebody bids against you, you can be like, you know exactly where you're at. You don't have to actually stand and hover over a table to win a prize. You could walk around, you could drink your champagne, your mimosas, and have a good time and not be standing hovering over a table to win the prizes you want to win. And then we go in and we have a really delicious brunch and we have a great presentation. And the idea of the presentation is to put you through like a little emotional roller coaster. So you leave so inspired and you've been like, wow, I can't say you're not going to leave without crying because that happens sometimes, but you're going to have a lot of laughter and a lot of inspiring stories and
touching stories.
And you just, when you leave, you just feel like, wow, that was amazing. And that's what I always hear back from people. And every year people are like, I got to go next year and get a whole table.
Right.
You know, because
it's
so fun.
And I love the Oreo cookies that are dipped in chocolate with the dog bone on it. I mean, they're edible. They're just adorable. Everything about it is just a wonderful cause. And like I said, before you turn around, it's going to be December again. And people certainly should be made aware of this to be able to come and have a great time, donate, and support this.
It is a really great time. The name of the brunch is called the Sit Stay Brunch.
Hey! That's correct. It's called the Sit Stay Brunch.
Oh, that's a perfect celebration.
Perfect as in meow perfect?
Yeah, P-U-R-R. Yes,
a Sit Stay Brunch.
A perfect celebration.
I love it.
Yes,
that's wonderful. But it's fairly new, so we'll give you a pass on not having it memorized yet.
Yeah, I, you know, it's the weirdest thing because you know, like it's like sometimes you just forget your own name.
Yes. It was
just
one, you know, yes. Really, trust me, I do. I'm very familiar.
Every week we talk about our Sit Stay Brunch in our meeting. So it's like right in the forefront of my mind. For some reason, I totally blanked out on it.
And like I said, it's wonderful. I went a few times this year. I actually took my daughter, who's 22. And once again, she was just very moved. She was just very moved. She's moved by the whole cause for what you're doing because we're so, you know, animal advocates. But she had a wonderful time there. And, you know, it's just, like I said, I can't stress this enough, the fact that you're bringing all of this to light. It's not a one-dimensional pet rescue that, as a child to an adult, we all just grew up with. You find a dog, here's a rescue, let's hope the owner comes. You have expanded on that and made it into, you know, such a great world to help out with all these other things. And a lot of people are, you know, touched because they've had to utilize you monetarily for dog food, for respite.
And you're giving
very different.
Yeah, very different. And giving other shelters and or rescues, I was going to say forcing them, but I'm going to say giving them permission to shift and adjust the way they're thinking about how they're caring for their animals, which I really have to applaud you. And again, not just here locally, but it sounds like nationwide. Huge.
Yeah, there definitely is a movement right now. And, you know, we've been doing this movement for 10 years, but there is a big shift in our industry. And the movement is all about keeping pets and families together. So we have seen so much going on in this light of, they call it intake diversion is the name of it. Now, 10 years ago, I didn't know it was called intake diversion. We were doing this. But now there's actually a name for it. It has a name for it. Yeah. It's really been great to see it taking like wildfire. Grantors are starting to be really interested in doing that. And the public in general, people see how much pets are integrated in people's lives and how much they are part of a family. And it shouldn't just be about bring a pet in and find a new home for it. Like, how do we prevent these pets from coming to these overcrowded shelters and keep with the families that love them? So it's been great to see so much movement and with shelters around the country doing this.
And you mentioned your Tempe location. You have other locations, of course, attached to Sojourners, but also all over the state?
We do not. So we have our one central location. We do work all through Maricopa County. People can bring pets, you know, to us. Wonderful. From around the state, or around you know, people from California brought pets to us too. But we have one shelter location plus the Sojourner Center location.
And the reason that prompted that question is I was thinking about from a municipality perspective or even county perspective. Again, you're helping to solve a problem for cities and for counties, because ultimately, when someone doesn't know what to do with a pet, if we find a feral, I'm going to say a feral cat, that's a whole different conversation. But when you find a pet that clearly is domestic, I don't know who to turn to. It would likely be I call my city or I call the county to get assistance. And so again, you're just solving problems all the way around, with the most important piece, helping families stay together in the time of need, right? Which was the catalyst for this whole Lost Our Home entity, enterprise to begin with. I'm curious, from 2008 to now, 2018, is there less of a need? You mentioned that you first, you know, really your passion was called to do this work because of the economy and the downturn and people losing their jobs and that sort of thing. What's the need now? Have you seen it shift?
We have seen it shift, and it's really more now, it's, you know, our tagline is helping people, saving pets. So, you know, our mission is compassionate finding compassionate options to help people in crisis, people and pets in crisis. So we've taken it from foreclosure crisis to any kind of crisis. Exactly.
Yeah, and PTSD, surgery, moving, whatever,
domestic violence, homelessness, all those things. And those things are going to exist in our, you know, going forward. They're not, unfortunately, going to go away.
Correct.
Yeah. And, you know, and pets are so close in families, and this is, you know, I'll give some astonishing statistics. For example, 40% of women will not flee a domestic violence situation for fear of what happens to their pet if left behind. 40%. Yep. And 85% of pets that are left behind are abused or neglected or killed. So there's a big fear there, because pets are really tied a lot with abuse.
Yes.
And that's just one sector of what we do.
Right. Just one piece of it.
Yeah. But think of the lives you're saving. You know, we took in a cat from a lady, this was probably 4 months ago. And remember, when she contacted us, she was still with her abuser, and he had hurt her so bad she'd have surgeries on both her knees. Oh my gosh. She didn't want to leave him because there's no place to bring her cat. So once she made arrangements to bring her cat to us, the next day she left him.
She had the strength and the support to do that by knowing that her beloved was taken care of. I have chills head to toe, God bumps. I have a 10-year-old and I have two 20-year-olds and we do a lot of volunteering and I have people reach out to me because I'm a connector and say, hey, I have a 10, 12, 13-year-old. I've got young 20-somethings or we have a Girl Scout troop or that sort of thing. And they're often frustrated because they can't find a place to volunteer.
Their time.
Their time. Mm-hmm. Is there an age range that, my response to them is always, there's a liability and there's reason. So can you cater to volunteers that have children? And if so, what age, how does that work?
So we love children. We love them. We are one of the shelters that actually allows kids to come in age 6 and up and actually interact with the pets.
Excellent. So what did I ask?
Yeah. So the younger kids will come in 6 and up. Yeah. They'll read to the dogs, read to the cats. They sit in there. We have a program called ABC Animal Book Club. We've got books there and they can sit there and read to the animals. The ones a little bit older, they actually will do some of the cleaning and they go through all the same volunteer training we do for the adults. The kids go through it all too. They can do all the walking. Our thing is don't take a dog on a walk you can't handle, and a parent has to be with the kids at all times until they're age 16. But we have a lot of weekends. The families are there together and they're all volunteering together and it's a lot of fun. And the kids are great with the animals and the animals love to be around the kids. So it's really a win-win. So
this is another question that I hadn't thought to ask. I mentioned I have a 10-year-old and he's desperately have been wanting to have a dog. And I haven't been able to pull that trigger yet. I do love animals, but I don't know that I'm a great pet owner because I didn't grow up with them. And so thinking about you're describing these kids and families who have an opportunity to come and volunteer. Are there adoptions that come out of these experiences then?
Absolutely. There are a lot of our volunteers will adopt the pets because they fall in love with they're there. They also do fostering. And fostering is a really good way to dip your feet into it. Yep. So if you're not quite sure if you want to make that full commitment, fostering a pet will give you, we cover all the medical, we give you all the supplies that you need and any information you need to make it work for you. So you have a chance to really work with somebody and everything is given to you, knowledge and supplies and a pet. And try it out at home and see how it works. And if it doesn't work out for that pet, you can try a different pet. If it doesn't work out any pet, then at least you know. And if it does work out, you can adopt that pet or you could adopt another.
And the nature of fostering is suggests temporary.
It is temporary.
And so, wow, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Incredible, all the things you do. Did I remember in the information, either that I read online or from what Barbara shared, birthday parties too?
Yes, we can have kids can have birthday parties there. Yeah, we'll have little craft activities we're gonna do, and they'll bring pets in the rooms. We're doing the crafts, and it's a fun. It's what we're noticing now. Kids are so philanthropic nowadays.
They are.
We'll have somebody come in, a mother or a father or a family with kids, and they're bringing a bunch of donations in, and that this child had decided to make all their birthday presents go for homeless pets. So they literally have donated their birthday, bring me, pet food. And they come to shelter and they donate their birthday. That's their birthday is the shelter. So I think it's great. They can come there and actually see firsthand and work firsthand with the pets. When they want to make a difference. They really do. And we do a lot of things with Eagle Scout projects. So they're much more formal, but we do Eagle Scout projects. We've got a really great Girl Scout project we did, which is a treadmill program called Miles for Mutts. When they're walking outside and walking on treadmill, fast track for walking dogs. Mm-hmm. And we still have it. That was started last year. We still have it today. And it was a Girl Scout program that was a project that happened. It's really, I have to say, I don't have kids myself. So when I see these kids and how smart they are and how philanthropic they are, it blows me away. They're just amazing. Kids are amazing.
It's also so nice to see them want to give back and teaching them at a young age that they are very blessed and that they should give back. And all children love pets. So you're giving them an opportunity instead of sitting in front of a TV playing video games that they can have this exposure and learn how to love a pet, take care of a pet, and of course, give back for the rest of their life. So that's huge. And even on the most elementary for lost a home is the actual rescue that you can come and you can adopt an animal. Mm-hmm. I know right after I moved to Arizona, a little bit over 6 years ago, my son wanted to adopt a dog. And I was kind of against it. He was in his early 20s. And I used to say to him, you know, I don't know if you're prepared. And he was just very adamant, I want to adopt a dog. And I said, fine, but I will be equally as adamant with you, Alan, which is you are going to a rescue. You are not going to take money out of your pocket and spend a couple of $1,000s or even a high, you know, $900, whatever dollars, and purchasing a purebred. I said the animals that are in the rescues need your love, need your support, and they're wonderful. I said, so therefore, if you are going to get a dog, we're going to a rescue. Mm-hmm. And that's what we did. In fact, I'm going to have my son's dog tonight, Apollo, my grandbaby, and take care of him tonight. But I was very adamant that he is not looking for and going to a breeder. You know, nothing wrong with that. But there are just so many homeless animals, and you need to walk into the rescue. And I, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, that I myself had rescued a dog many years ago, which I call my sweetheart. Love him. Just love him. And I don't think I could get a better dog had I paid, you know, $100,000. So once again, on the most elementary level, you are also there for people to walk in, fall in love with one of the dogs or the cats and take them home.
Absolutely. And they're, and it's interesting, but 30% of rescue pets are actually purebred pets. Okay. And so you can get a purebred mm-hmm. pet at a rescue, or you can get a mixed breed. Whatever you want, you're going to find at a different rescue. And one thing I've noticed is that the pets, when they're rescued, they know it, and they have such a so grateful for a good home. So, you know, there's so much love that they want to give. And there are some pets that are scared because they've been through a lot of trauma. Sure. And to me, when you take a pet and that's scared like that, and you turn it around and learns how to trust and how to love again, I mean, there's no better feeling than that. And really, the bond you have with that pet is just incredible. So even getting a pet that's a little bit more scared, you're going to have the most amazing experience with this pet. Or getting a pet that's fully socialized and happy and loves everybody, you know, is going to be amazing too. Mm-hmm. So there are so many great pets. And when you rescue a pet from a rescue, you're saving two lives. You're saving one of the pet that you rescued, right, and you're saving life another one that can, now there's room to bring another pet in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, excellent. Yes. I was even thinking that, that you yourself, oftentimes when someone is making a commitment to be in relationship with a pet like that, then oftentimes it's shifting their life as well. But I hadn't even thought about making room for another opportunity for a pet to have a home. I want to circle back to your capital campaign, Home at Last, because we started to talk about it and we kind of got sidetracked. What else can you tell about us about that, and where are you at in the purchase of the building and growing capital to make that happen?
So our original goal was $1.75 million. We have raised $1.6 million.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so we're pretty far along. You know, I've been doing the plans. We are seeing that there's more we want to do than we initially had thought of, because there's some really cool ideas that really make it the best we can make it at one time. So we probably want to go a little higher than our goal, because we could do so much more with that little bit of difference. So we would like to go closer to $2 million now, but the shelter will be really, it couldn't get any better than what it would be when we can put that money into
state of the art.
Yeah. And it's really, as I say, the art doesn't sound very homey, but it's all about making it very homey. Like all the plans we have, it's going to look like a little neighborhood still, like it looks right now, but much more sturdy, not, you know, chew proof, right, you know, materials and drainage. We have no drainage there right now, so we use mops for everything like that. So a lot of expenses is drainage, new ACs and things like that, units that need to get replaced. Medical room, building that out. We want to do catios. The cats will have indoor-outdoor space, so they get some fresh air. Because right now, they don't have any, you know, outdoor space. It'll be small little catios. That's going to cost a little money to put doors in and close things up. So the things we're doing are going to really make it right for the pets and the people, too. Because people walk in the door, like I said, I want them to feel the love and to fall in love, because they take the time to be there. They're not, you know, one thing at the place, I'm jumping around here, but it's so clean. It doesn't smell. It's not loud. We play music for the dogs and the cats. And so it's, you know, there's so much enrichment happening because our volunteers are so amazing. They're, you know, we do everything daily, sight, sound, taste, smell, different enrichments for everybody, dogs and cats. And so they have so much that they're given. And the place is so clean and so it smells like vanilla when you walk in. Actually,
Jody, why don't you also share with us the actual location of the pet rescue, lost her home in Tempe. What's the actual location? What is your phone number? And also, what are your hours?
Okay, so thank you. The address
is... She's a good co-host.
She's amazing.
We'll have to have her back again.
Yes. I'm taking your place with me. So the address is 2323 South Hardy Drive. We are on Hardy Drive, just a little bit south of Broadway. The phone number is 602-445-PETS, which is 7387. And our hours are open on Tuesday through Friday from 11 to 6, and then Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 4. Mm-hmm. And we used to be closed on Wednesdays, and we just opened up starting this week. We're opening on Wednesdays now, too. Mm-hmm. And you can walk in to do adoptions, or you can go on our website ahead of time. The website is lostourhome.org. You can see the pets we have for adoption there. But wonderful. Definitely come by, too, because we have pets that are not ready for adoption yet, but they will be next week, for example, or the next day. So check the website often or come in and... Mm-hmm. Better way to fall in love is to come in.
And once again, that's Hardy Road in Tempe.
Hardy Road in Tempe, south of Broadway, yeah.
Right, and how wonderful that you also have this online, that you can go ahead and peruse that. So if you're looking and you can't make it down there, and you can sit with your children in the privacy of your own home and say, let's take a look and see what type of dogs or cats we want to adopt before we go down there. Because sometimes this second you go down there, you fall in love with one of them. And, you know, this way you can actually step back and go ahead and take a look online. So that's terrific.
Yeah, absolutely. And online too, we have a lot of resources. So if you need help with us taking a pet in for you, either temporarily or permanently, all the applications are on the website. There's resources on the website of other rescues out there. Information for the pet-friendly rentals are out there too. Mm-hmm. Our website is a plethora of information, including our Home at Last campaign. Mm-hmm. Information on that too. And some of the plans we're going to be doing is also on the website.
Mm-hmm. What do you typically charge if somebody comes in and falls in love with, you know, one of your dogs or cats, for them to right at the moment take that dog or cat home? What is the procedure?
So they do an application, which is online. So even at the shelter, they do an online application. Mm-hmm. And then we go through and we ask a lot of questions. The main thing is doing a counseling. And we want to see that this is going to be the right pet for them.
So you're vetting out the person.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's not so much vetting the person, it's vetting the pet with that person.
The match.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Because somebody could be an amazing pet parent, but this is not the right pet for them.
Right.
So we want to make sure we're doing a match that's going to work out well for both. And that's the process is the application and then the counseling. And then if all that works out, there's actually a contract that they do too.
Yeah.
And are there fees involved then?
There are fees involved. The adoptions include spay or neuters. It includes all the vaccines for dogs. It includes all the vaccines for cats, including testing for FIV and FBLV for cats. And the cat adoption fee is $75 and dogs are $195.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah. You can't do all that medical for that cost. And so we lose money in every adoption. But we try to keep the prices somewhat low, and that way we're not, you know, hurting adoptions either. So that money helps cover some of the costs from the pets. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why donations are so important, because mm-hmm. it doesn't cover all of it. So
it helps defray it. And I'm sure, like you said, with the matching program, it's important because you'll probably get kids in there that see a dog, but that dog may be better off suited by an older individual than young kids. And mm-hmm. then there are certain dogs, breeds that just love children. So you're right in doing that match and you're teaching somebody that. So,
yeah. And again, back to me not being certain that I'm a great pet owner and not ready to make that commitment with my 10-year-old. I now know that I have a place, one, to go and volunteer with him and have experts give me some feedback as to how we're interacting and what we need to learn as potential pet owners, pet parents, mm-hmm. in addition to helping me find the right match. Because I've always said to a couple of friends who are really good with pets and have said, you know, when I'm ready to do this, can you help me make sure we've got a dog that fits well with our lifestyle and our family? Because I wouldn't know thing one about it. So it's great to know that you have that counseling and that is already part of how you interact with these potential families and volunteers. So thank you. I know we could continue to talk forever about this topic, and I'm thrilled to have an introduction to you and your organization, Jody. And I'm very grateful for Barbara saying, several weeks ago, Karen, we really need to get her on to have this conversation. It sounds like you're already getting a lot of acknowledgement and our community is rallying with you with some of the honors and the awards that and attention that you've gotten.
And again, very well deserved.
Yeah, and very, very well deserved. But our job here at Phoenix Business Radio X is to continue to expand that reach for you and with you. So I'm happy that you could come and share your story with us today.
Thank you. I'm so thrilled to be here and I appreciate your time. And Barbara, how fun was this?
It was terrific. And I want to thank Karen, obviously, for giving Lost Her Home this visibility and branding. And that's extremely important so that she can move forward with the cause every day and help thousands of people as she's done in the last 10 years.
Yeah, impressive. Really blown away. And I love so much that this is, again, not only taking care of our local animals and families, but also other people all around the country. And I'm willing to bet the world are watching and listening and taking note and shifting, helping to shift our culture around keeping families together. Is there anything as we close out our show today that we hadn't thought to ask you that feels important to share?
There's one thing I'll mention, which is interesting, and is a statistic is that kids nowadays are more likely to grow up with the pet than with the father in their household. And that is, when I heard that, I was like, that is really astonishing. But it just goes to show you how important pets are to families and why it's so important to keep pets and families together, you know, and how much impact pets actually do make in families. So
excellent note to end on. And again, another indicator that the work that you're doing is much needed and you're solving problems all the way around. Thank you both for being here. I know we have future segments with my special guest co-host, Barbara Barnstead, and Jody Polansky with Lost Our Home Pet Rescue. It's such a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.